Welcome, listeners, to episode 15 of Vibrating the Cosmos podcast. Tonight, I have the ever brilliant Zara Zadeh. Yes, Harvard trained clinical psychologist. She is a mindful coach, a mindfulness coach, a code breaker, and the co-founder of Code. Do you want to say something else?
I mean, that was great. That was great.
Nice.
Yeah. Essentially, you know, after I finished my degree, I started this company and co-founded this technology called Code. And so on a day-to-day basis, I help individuals and leaders make peace with their inner critic and change their neurochemistry so that they can just have less stress and more money doing what they love in the world.
Yes. Yes. Doing work with this woman is amazing. And she is just a wealth of just valuable insight. I mean, you can go on to her website and to her social, into Instagram and Facebook, and you can get so much rich content from just your posts that you put out. There's so much inspiring words and just useful, practical things to incorporate in your life so that you can just improve, like, just what you went through, what you're building with technology as far as creating new habits and new neural pathways. Is that a good way of saying it?
Absolutely. Yes, that's accurate. And thank you. Yeah. I mean, I try to, you know, put out as much content as possible for free. And so that in a way that it's accessible and grounded, and try to tailor my language so that people can find the information useful, you know, and practical to their lives. And it's not just theory or like philosophy, but explaining how you can actually apply it.
Yeah, well, it's actually so full of truth, actually, you know, I mean, you know, you're talking about the practical, but like, you know, it's when I say truth, it's because these are things that you have incorporated in your own life. Like you apply mm-hmm. these things, mm-hmm. you apply these methods, and you're just, it's like the proof is in the pudding and you can see the content. You can't fake it. And there it is. And that's what I love about you, and just like, it's beautiful pictures and a beautiful aesthetic. Aww. Like so artistic, but then, you know, the words, it's just like, it's such a great experience. So I urge you all to go to her Instagram, Matrix Codebreaker, right? It's Matrix Codebreaker.
Yes. Matrix, like the Matrix movie, and then Codebreaker.
Yes. Yes. Wonderful. Good stuff. I'm actually so excited to have you on tonight because you know me, I have to inner conversation, like all my conversations, like we can't have one without me discussing astrology in some shape or form.
Yes.
So right now there's a big thing going off. Right now it's November 19th. The Galactic Center, which is basically the center of the Milky Way galaxy. It's an energetic source. It's energy, right? It's particles, it's energetic particles penetrates Earth's energy field. And these particles in the galactic center, they're thought to open up the subconscious mind, showing us where we need to release old emotional wounds, traumas, and find a way to look at the bigger picture, right? Mm-hmm. To let truth emerge so that we can build new paradigms, right? So mm-hmm. I feel like this is kind of what you do. Like, I feel like you're the galactic center. the galactic center does, you know, it has a very strong Sagittarian energy. It sits at about 26, 27 degrees of Sagittarius, and you have a Sagittarius sun. So Jupiter, mm-hmm. Jupiter is ruled by Sagittarius. So there's so much Sagittarian energy, which is, the sign of truth and freedom. It's about getting into that stillness and of embodiment of our, enlightened selves. right?
Yes.
Being able to be in the darkness and the mystery is Sagittarius as far as truth, you know? Mm-hmm. And we can get so philosophical, like I'll stop now. I'll really let you take over because there's so much that you can tell us about how we can get into these new ways of being, because that's really what this astrology is doing. It's helping us. It's fertile ground for us to see the bigger picture and know where we have to shift. Like this is really a big time of choice, right? Like we can really see the crossroads here, and it's about choosing. And what did I want to ask? I think it's about emptying ourselves out. Actually, there's somebody who described the energy of the galactic center. It's a really famous astrologer. He loves the galactic center. He talks about it as the energy of a defragging a computer. That's what that energy is. If I want to distill it, I'd say that would be a really good sense feeling, right? When I say that.
Yeah.
When, you know, you had your old PCs, and you had to be like, oh, I think I have to defrag the computer because it's not really working. It's not functioning. You know, the programs aren't functioning, right? Like shit's crashing. Like, what do we need to do? We need to install a new operating system. Let's upgrade the operating system because then things are going to run more optimally, you know? I think that what I would love to ask is, if that's like a real clear picture of things, I mean, that's kind of scary, right? Like a new paradigm means that it's something that doesn't exist, right? Like we can think of it on a micro and macro level.
Right. Well, I think that's a really good segue. For example, the idea of an operating system, like that's partially how Michael and I, who created Code, actually see Code. It's like, to help you actually change your operating system, right? I think you've heard it a lot, I'm sure, that if you compare your brain to a computer and you try to install new hardware in it and new programming, meaning like, and by that I just mean you're swapping out your old beliefs and your limiting beliefs for new, more benevolent and adaptive and complex beliefs that are more holistic, are more just, you know, embedded with more truth. When you try to do that, sometimes there is like this conflict, right, within that you and I were talking about earlier about when you're trying to shift, when you're trying to move into, you know, the best version of you or your highest self, a lot of cognitive dissonance can occur because some of the new beliefs that you're trying to install are really at odds with how you've been living your life and maybe like at odds with what you've been taught and what you might have even learned about spirituality. And some of the new that wants to come through you and some of the new ways that you're inspired to think and be, and maybe you're attracted to different kinds of aesthetics and tastes and different music, different food, different things like that, you might stop yourself from shifting and developing and evolving because you don't know how to reconcile the new with the old.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. It does. So what, then, yeah, I mean, it can be a really frightening place, right? That cognitive dissonance, absolutely. Right? It's like, what's going on? And partly it's like you're feeling something entirely new.
Right. Yeah. And I think that the beauty of things like what you're doing here on this podcast and the whole reason to have this conversation is because when you are going through that alone or when you don't really have, like when your, you know, crew or your friends or your tribe can't really necessarily relate or they're not really getting where you're coming from, even maybe it's people that you've gone to in the past, but maybe like what you're bringing through is the leading edge that you might not feel like other people around you understand. And so that can sometimes really deter people from developing into new stages because their environment is actually at a lower stage of development. And so then they don't really have not just a supportive environment to help them understand and integrate what's coming through, but they're not able to integrate it within the environment. So then it's sort of like they become at odds with the environment itself. And so that's why a lot of people actually don't develop as fast as they could potentially, because their culture, their society is actually stuck at a certain developmental level. I could say a lot more on that, but I didn't know.
It's okay. I'm just thinking where I want to take you from this juncture, because I feel like there are some things that we could unpack there. But how would you think somebody could approach, like what comes to mind is one of a recent posts that you put on your Instagram feed. It was such a great poetic picture. You know, if you looked at it fast, you wouldn't have noticed that there were butterflies circling the crown of your head.
Yeah,
and you were talking about, and I love this so much. And it reminds. And
by the way, just to clarify for your listeners, this was it's an Instagram filter, so they weren't real butterflies, but they look very beautiful and realistic.
yeah, that was dope. I love that. You had said something about being in a state of nothingness. It really reminded me of this Muji quote that said, "Be a special nobody." Like, just empty yourself out. Like, what were you saying there? I actually don't even remember. Like, is it relevant to this conversation?
Yeah, I think it's very relevant. Yeah. I can, do you want me to read a part of it?
Yeah, I would love you to.
And then we can go.
Yes, please.
So, okay. One second. Okay, so I wrote, your next level self is emptied. In order to be your most powerful self, you must become nobody. Move beyond identification with your human self, not so that you can produce quote-unquote results, but because that is all there is left to do, to truly give up all your limitations. Creating the art of your life is all there is left to become one with. And you cannot become your art, and your art cannot become you if you still identify as something separate from it, separate from creation, and separate from the process of creation. You fuse with it. Your consciousness submerges in the infinite nothing, not dark, not light, just pure nothingness.
Oh, it's so good. It's so good. I love it. I love it. I love it. Cause you're basically talking about like this idea of getting into, I mean, I don't want to, it's so poetic. I mean, there's no need to even add to that because it speaks for itself, but it's this idea of getting away from the non-dual state, right? To get into you know, you see very clearly your old self, right? And it's not about necessarily rejecting that old self that you know doesn't work, but you can't give it hate, you know? So where do we go from there? How do we reconcile that? Like being in this place of like, I'm not that yet, and I don't want to be just what I was, you know, quote unquote.
One really important distinction is, and this is really nuanced. So everyone who's listening carefully, kind of maybe pause and just listen a little closer. So the distinction is that a lot of us identify with all of ourselves, meaning that if we're having a miserable day or if we're in a miserable mood, we say, I feel miserable, or I'm miserable. And what I noticed the other day was that if you want to move beyond that and like actually change your habits, because that's actually a habit, is like when you are used to thinking certain thoughts, like thinking about your own self, your own problems, everything like that, you actually create the neurochemistry in your brain for that to be your average daily state. And so when you're not thinking, sorry, when you're not feeling miserable and you're used to feeling that way, or you're used to feeling sort of down on yourself, then your brain will actually trigger memories and thoughts to trigger you to feel that way, because that's your state of homeostasis. So if you want to change that, it requires for you to create new neuronal pathways, which basically just means new pathways in your brain that are established by beginning to think differently. For example, through becoming more mindful and invoking being like metacognitive. So like thinking about your thoughts, right? And being the observer of your thoughts and what's going on within. And so then you can begin to actually change your thoughts and create those new pathways. Now, if you want to do that as swiftly and as easily as possible, the distinction here is that I encourage you to try and play around with this, to not identify with that. Like, if you feel down on yourself, don't say, I feel down on myself. Don't identify with, oh, this is me. This is just another part of me. It's just that today I just feel down on myself. No, that's not actually you. Okay. That is a conditioned way of being that you have learned. Mm-hmm. So that's not you. And every time you say that that's you, you bring the past into the present and recreate that in the present moment. So you're identifying with your depression, or you're identifying with your anxiety, you're identifying with your worry, and you're making it a part of who you are and how you identify yourself. So instead, what would you identify with? Well, what's more true than identifying with that is identifying with who you really are at the core, which that self would be free of that conditioning. That would be the self, like, free of all these learned ways of being that you've learned, like feeling bad about yourself or self-sabotaging, all these different things. So identify with that. So when you're having an off day, say, like, instead you would say, I don't feel like myself today. This is not me. You see the difference there?
Yes.
It's a huge difference. Yeah, it's a huge difference, because your brain begins to literally, you stop identifying yourself as that. And then, like, on the days when you are feeling that way, you're way more able and motivated to, for example, take care of that before you do anything else that day, because you realize, like, hey, this isn't me. So I'm just going to go take care of this, and I'm going to meditate. I'm going to, you know, do a kriya or visualize and do what I need to do, because this isn't me, and I cannot interact with the world and with the tasks that I need to do as, you know, not myself. You know what I mean?
Yes, I really like that. That's so useful. Yeah, I mean, I think I think also developing, though, that witnessing mind is a challenge in itself, right? It's like, how often, how much, and maybe you know this statistically, like, how much are we really conscious of what we're doing in the day? Isn't it like 90% of what we do is on a subconscious, unconscious level?
Or is that extreme? I don't think it's 90%, but it's high. The thing is that most of the time, because you're so identified with your likes and dislikes and who you think you are, like who you identify yourself as, you have a sense of like ownership over your thoughts. Like, you feel like your thoughts are yours. Like, you feel like your conditioning is yours. That's why you identify with it. And you're like, this is just how I am. You know, like, you, when you tell someone something and want to encourage them to change, and they give you the reply of like, well, I don't know what you're talking about. You know, this is just who I am. It's like,
yeah.
Okay. This is why this post that I wrote that you're referencing was inspired by, well, many things, but one thing was like realizing that one really has to get to the point of being just done and like sick and tired of their own. Like if there's one thing, right? If there's one thing that you've noticed that you've been carrying with you for years and years and years and years, and you've done all this self-work and, you know, gone to therapy, done all these things, and yet, you know, this one thing is still sort of there. And it's probably gotten way better, but you haven't weeded it out completely. And if there was that one thing that you could identify, like for me, it's always been self-worth, you know, and so that's why it also comes up a lot with people that I work with. But this thing, I got to the point where I really made the decision of, you know, I'm just so tired of this. Like, wow, you know, like, why is this thing not going away? You know, because it right. really is like a wonder. You're like, wow, you're still there, you know, and it's like, and you sort of get to this point where you're just like.
You want off the ride. You
want exactly. You're like, around.
I want off already.
And really, you want off, you know, not like, oh, yeah, I want off, but then, oh, no, I'm not willing to let go of this toxic habit, or I'm not willing to let go of this person. I'm not willing to let go of, you know, anything. You know, you get to the point where you're sick enough that you're literally willing to let go of any attachment because you're just finally tired. And you're like, also, like what happened with me was I was like, okay, I've come too far to only come this far. So I'm not going to basically stop here, you know, because I've put in too much work, you know, and like, to be funny, but I think it's funny, but like, I haven't partied, you know, I haven't done all these things.
Yeah.
I'm not going to stop now. Like, I am going to move mountains for myself, and I'm not going to stop sacrificing and doing the hard things just because it's getting harder. Like, that's actually kind of part of the game, is it's supposed to get more challenging because, you know, as you get to higher levels, like, there's more that's going to be asked of you, and that's how you actually gain more responsibility, and with that comes more power. But you can't have more power without taking more responsibility. And that's what's asked of us. It's like, okay, you want that? You want your next level? Well, what are you willing to actually stop making excuses for? What are you actually willing to take responsibility for?
Right. Or it's like, it's also like this idea of like what's like the boss, like playing video games, like what's the boss that you need to kill, the monster you need to kill in order to get to the next level, right? Like, you can't just like, you know, get to the next level without like being really good at the skills that you're honing, or that, you know, the new skills.
And that's so true.
Yeah.
It's so true, because literally, like, just a quick example, like, whenever I've fought one of those, you know, metaphorical quote unquote bosses, like in my life, and like overcame like something big, immediately, like a few months later, a client will reach out to me that's going through the exact same thing that I just overcame like several months before.
Wow, that's really cool.
Yeah, so I've gotten to see the truth of that multiple times.
Wow. That speaks to the universe is truly magnetic, because that's basically what's happening. And it's amazing that the internet is actually a conduit for that. Right? And that the galactic center, actually, when there's activity from the galactic center, there have been these things, if you look like at things happening on the larger, you know, world stage type of thing. This great astrologer that I was looking at today, she calls herself Sky Priestess. I think it's Bavre. Anyway, she's from India, and she was talking about some of the things that were happening. I remember like 1984, I think maybe Jupiter and the Galactic Center were hitting, and it was like the Apple computer came out, and their whole campaign, they were called Macintosh then, I guess. Like their whole campaign was about like 1984 and how they, which is really so fucking ironic, right?
That's because, funny.
Right. Cause we're basically in, we're living 1984 now, but whatever. Anyway, get back to the point, that, right. The internet being a conduit is kind of just showing us a lot about consciousness and collective consciousness and like, you know, collective unconsciousness, you know,
that too. Yeah. Great.
Yeah.
Point.
Yeah.
So great.
This, just to say another thing about the emptiness, I think that it's scary to like them, that like just hearing that might also be sort of weird. Like, it's like, okay, Zara, like, I don't really want to be empty, but I don't really mean it that way. It's more like you're emptied out of everything that you're not. So, you know, when all the identifications can pause, you're able to actually choose with your free will and exercise your free will when you identify with different aspects of yourself to serve specific purposes that are part of your larger mission. And you can step away from it psychologically to be, you know, in your zen or in your flow state at will. So to me, that's a component of mental mastery. It's like, you know, playing around and gaining fortitude with exercising my free will in when I want to stop thinking or when I truly don't want to think about something or when I do want to engage a certain topic and when I do want to enter into a flow state and not think about myself. You know, I think most of my life, like, I've thought about myself and like getting to that point where I was sick and tired of being sick and tired was also me like being like, you know what? I'm tired of my own problems. I'm tired of thinking about my own problems and like myself. Like, can we like turn the page and get on with it? So it also comes with that sort of energy, I feel like, where you're really like, okay, I'm ready to give. You know, I'm ready to be that leader. I'm ready to be there for other people. I'm ready to be beyond myself. Like, I'm ready to just move beyond, like, you know, self-absorption and being egocentric and self-centric to being world-centric, which also Ken Wilber really talks about too. So
yeah, I know you're a big fan of that of him. Yes. You know, because he's able to see multiple viewpoints,
many perspectives. Yeah, integral. Yeah. So he integrates them all. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So good. You're really serving it up tonight, Mama. Okay. what else am I gonna ask you? I mean, I love how you got into masterminding, but I mean, right now your work seems to be about mentoring leadership. It seems.
Yeah, well, this actually came from like the mastermind that I held because I saw that so many people in that container, in that program, knew that, you know, they were still playing small. And but all these fears come up around, you know, really stepping up to the plate. And part of that is like being seen, you know, oh, is that like egotistical? Like, I don't want to be in my ego of like, you know, being more known, being more visible online, being in the limelight, a public figure, you know, all these words, like a celebrity, you know, like all these words.
Yeah.
So I realized that this is huge, you know, and when you realize that it's not about you though, like that's a spiritual aspect of it, is that you being known is not egotistical. Your ego is meant to play a part in your journey. That's why you have it. And it's actually very important if you want to represent yourself and represent your mission and your movement and have a business and make contracts and deals. And like, it's very important and crucial, but it's not about your ego. Like this, you know, the whole work is about allowing your, your soul to lead and your personality to be in the passenger seat, your soul to be the driver, you know, and your ego being part of that. So it's not allowing yourself to be seen. It's about getting out of your own way. It's about like not allowing your own thoughts of what are people going to think, you know, how's this going to make me look? Who do I think I am? You know, all these thoughts are thoughts of being self-absorbed. They're selfish thoughts, you know, bordering on like narcissism. So like, think about like when you take it to the extreme. So think about someone who actually can get beyond that, which I like this whole sort of theme that we've had in this conversation of ours of being emptied. Your next level self is emptied of all those concerns because your next level self has moved beyond their concern for just themselves and is able to represent and be like the representative for that mission. You know what I mean? For that leadership, for their calling, because so long as you're focused with your small self, you're thinking too much like a human, like you're thinking too much in your conditioned human self, and moving beyond that is moving into something that's doesn't look human. Like it doesn't, like there's not humans walking around that are embodying this. So that's why it can also be scary. Cause it's like, oh, well, maybe that's bad, or maybe that's unhealthy. Maybe that's not right or good. And it's like, but all those ideas that we have are formed based on all the people that we see and the norms that, you know, our society is built upon. But if you, even if you take a figure like, you know, Jesus or Muhammad or like different prophets, different gurus and monks, they're not like regular people that you would see on the street. They have moved beyond themselves so that they can actually embody and be the embodiment of something greater. So every word that they speak is almost like it's almost always hitting a chord of truth within you because they're just pure channel. And that's what I mean. Like if you empty yourself and you're not identifying with the dark and the light so much anymore, you can actually embody more and encompass it all.
Something that's beyond time and space. You know,
exactly. And you can't move to be beyond time and space until you move beyond yourself. Like that's when you can actually
which is a limited which is a limited exactly. Because it's dependent on all these things that aren't eternal. So nice.
You got it.
So nice. Yeah, I mean, I think that this is great. I feel like I'm defragging my brain right now to be able to hold more and to be more a better functioning, you know, higher functioning human. Yeah, I mean, is there anything you'd like to say? I mean, I know that you have an awesome podcast. Again, just free contact, just so concentrated with all this juicy mastermind, but also woven in there is definitely the spiritual in your podcast, No Acid Needed. It's awesome. Check it out.
Thank you, love.
Is there anything else you want to plug, Mama? Because
the only other thing I would tell your listenership is just meditate more. meditation and visualization is definitely going to help you to integrate anything that you've learned here that you might not know exactly how to integrate or how you feel about it. Just go into meditation with it.
I mean, do you want to say something about the heart space and all this kind of healing healing stuff? I'm sure you I know that's not something that you don't think about in all this too.
When you say heart space, what do you mean?
Or I mean, like, how can we balance out? So all this like meditating and things like that. I feel like for me, you know, I did work with you, right? It's like all of this really brings up so much emotion, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Doesn't it? And you can help people with that too. It goes so deep, right? Because we're looking at life in so many angles, right?
Yeah, for sure. I think that
the reason why I said visualization is because if you have an anchor of at least what you think with your consciousness right now, what you think your future self, your next level self feels like and looks like, and if you go into visualization to try to meet them, that can really help you as an anchor, because you start to sort of learn and have like the perceptual, like mental psyche frameworks for what that you is like, and so that you can move towards it. As far as like emotions go, I think just being very gentle with all of this, and that's why I was saying also meditating on it, because any emotion that comes up, you know, I always suggest for one to write it and look at it and look at what's underneath it, and don't let it fester, or don't try to spiritualize it away. Like, don't try to meditate your emotion away. Look at the emotion and meditate to see what the deeper truth underneath it is. So just being gentle, and yet not letting that gentleness make you complacent, or you know, dragging you into a place of like childishness, or you know, not wanting to deal with it, but rather like being gentle in the service of being bigger and being wise, and coming back to yourself and realizing that you owe yourself that time and that quietness to sit and contemplate these things, and then take action on what you think you need to do next, what your next step is. Because like I say, like, clarity comes from action. So you're going to gain the clarity when you take the action, not if you just sit and meditate about it forever, but it all goes hand in hand.
Oh, that's so good. I think that's a perfect place to leave off.
Wonderful.
Yeah, Mama. I think it's so enjoyable talking to you. I always enjoy our conversations. Yeah.
Me too, my dear. I love you.
Yes, I love you.
Thank
too.
Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Come back anytime. I hope you do.
Yes. Looking forward to it. Chatter chakar varti chatar chakar bhugte suyam bhav savang sarb da sarb jugte tu kalam pranasi te alam sarupe sada ang sange abhangam vibhute chatar chakar varti chatar chakar bhugte suyam bhav savang sarb sarv jugte dukhalam pranasi dayalam sarupe sada ang sange abhangam vibhute chatur chakar varti chatur chakar bhugte suyam vasavam sarv da sarv jugte dukhalam pranasi dayalam sarupe sada chakar bhugte suyam bhav subham sarv da sarv jugte dukhalam pranasi te alam sarupe sada